County Board of Commission. I'd like to welcome everybody that's come in here. And invocation and pledge allegiance by Commissioner Ron Robertson.
Good afternoon. Could I have a moment of silence for our former lost sheriff, Mr. Wallace Pierre? Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Please continue to bless us. Use the same Father yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Please continue to bless this meeting. Grow us, grow Bertie County, grow all the counties so that they be all on one accord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Robinson.
Thank you.
Public comments, 3 minutes. 3 minute public comments.
Good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Freeman, how are you?
Good. Mike Freeman. I'm here tonight as chairman of the ABC board. FYI, we have found a location for the ABC store in Lewiston, and the sign has been placed. It's been about a week now. So it's just to inform you, you might be getting calls, good, bad, ugly. But it's just to give you a heads up. There's a number on the sign for anybody to call, and their comments, good, bad, ugly, will be taken and forward to the ABC Commission. Now, do y'all have any questions?
What's the anticipated time for development of this project? Do you know?
We have to leave the sign up for 30 days. ABC has to schedule a meeting, which will be at the end of the 30 days, probably 30 to 45 days. And after that, if they okay the project, we go in and remodel it, trial standards, and you know, ever how long the remodeling takes.
All right.
I would guesstimate right now, June or July.
Great. Have you set a budget for the project? What do you think it's going to cost?
Believe it or not, it's not going to be that expensive for us because we're renting the building.
Long term or short term or month to month?
We're year by year. Okay. We have a building extension.
Automatic renewal if you choose to.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't tell you the location. The location would be at the duck through in Lewiston. There's a laundromat in there now, and they're moving out. And duck through, by some means, found out we was looking for a building and contact us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to follow up on what Chairman Freeman said. He is correct. As many of you know, we've been planning this for 2 years. We had a developer out of Raleigh who was looking at developing property in Lewiston, and he was wanting us to be the anchor so other stores and other facilities will come. That fell through. Then we had another person who invited us to attend. That facility just didn't fit the needs because of parking. Then the Heralds with Jernigan all invited us because that they were getting ready to have a place vacant. Let me give you a little history about Jernigan Oil. They asked Northampton County to do the same thing. The Northampton County, believe it or not, turned them down. So we are doing something that the ABC Commission is very excited about. Facilities next to other facilities that support each other. I understand that the town of Lewiston Woodville was concerned about why hasn't a grocery store come or why hasn't something else want to come. Well, they're going to wait to see if this ABC store succeeds because we are a business that if we attract the business and we get the customers, then the other businesses are going to want to come to the town. If we fail, why would a Piggly Wiggly want to come if ABC School fails? I don't think we're going to fail. In fact, I know we're going to succeed. I have every faith in it. But I understand the concerns of the people in Lewiston Woodville. I understand their concerns. I understand their questions. And I plan to go to Lewiston with Chairman Freeman to answer those questions tonight. But I want to keep you all abreast that this isn't something that just happened. This is something that's been ongoing. I also want to give a lot of credit to Chairman John Trent. He's been helping us with the design of the building. His construction background has been invaluable to the ABC board, and we didn't have him, we would have had to pay somebody to do this. So I want to thank you personally for your help. So if you have any questions of me, time to ask too. And as far as the budget, we had to provide the ABC Commission a budget for our shelving, a budget for our signs, a budget for our rent, which ABC Commission thinks is wonderful. We're getting 1,500 square feet. We're paying $1,500 a month. So, and as far as security, of course, the Sheriff's Department provides security. I'm a policeman, but you know, we pay the Sheriff's Department.
Also, Duck Through has cameras up everywhere.
And they have cameras everywhere. So that's what I was looking at too. So,
Mr. I don't have a question, but I have a comment. Yeah. We are looking for ways to bring revenue into the county. Mm-hmm. People want service, but in order to get great service and more service and better service, some tax dollars have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And by having a business in the county, we get more revenue to help fund better service for the citizens.
I appreciate you say that, because that brings another thing. I don't want to go over my 3 minutes. The revenue ABC system in North Carolina is unique, and in my opinion, one of the best systems in the world. Everybody benefits from the profits, whether you drink or not, because those profits go into the local coffers. The town of Lewiston, like the town of Windsor right now, gets a percentage of what's made out on 17, but the town of Lewiston Woodville is going to get a percentage of what's made at that store. Not only with that, but they're also get a percentage of sales tax that's made from that store. But everybody, it's a win-win situation.
Miles, you know, now that you bring up the issue of revenue and revenue split, I'm not sure that we got a real clear answer to the question. Mike, if you remember when you guys brought us the check and brought us the statement, and there appeared to be an error, significant error in the statement. And I said to you, you said, well, looks like an error and we're going to find out what's going on. I don't have an explanation for that yet. Have you guys found a reason why that? It was a set aside that had never been set aside before in prior audits. And that was a set aside of potential profits. So what gives?
The best I can explain it is, you remember when we came and asked to keep a portion of the year before profits, mm-hmm, or whatever, you know, and we kept those profits and gave y'all the other half. And then when the auditor hit the books, he couldn't quite figure out where that money came from or where it's supposed to go. And that's where lies the mistake that was made. And he came back and redid it, and he got with the county manager. Mm-hmm. It should have been a one-page sheet explaining.
So do we have the money?
Yes, we have the money.
No. Do we have the money? The county?
Yes.
The additional money, because it was $30,000 that was put into this fund.
I can't.
Now let me say this. The auditor that we used should have put it in a working capital. What money that this county commissioners voted that we can set aside for, and the whole purpose for Lewiston, should have been in the audit for.
Miles, that never happened. But the money that Mike's talking about to set aside was the prior year.
Yeah.
We never voted to do anything in this current year of those profits. That never happened. Now it may have been an assumption that we would do it again, but that was never decided. Not to my recollection.
I don't think we've ever made the assumption that was going to happen. We just need to have a meeting like we do and to talk about the budget and to make our requests for money. I don't think we've ever made an assumption.
No.
We were waiting for your answer.
Yeah, we've been waiting for months. We've been waiting for over 6 months for this answer. We never had the answer.
But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, what we finally did was gave that money back to you. Am I right? We
money from last year.
Right. We gave that money back.
No. Let's be clear. You brought us a check for $15,000. You said to us, do you want to take the check? We said, no. Go back and figure out what the right amount is and then bring it to us. We said no to the check. Mm-hmm. And then we were waiting for it to be figured out so we get the right amount. Because the check was for $15,000. There was an additional, I believe it was 30 something, that was moved to a special fund out of profits. That never came to the county or to the town of Windsor. I'm just saying.
Just partially being cleared up, not completely. He's right. The auditor did send a letter to us saying this is what it is. We still didn't agree with it. We actually spent time on the phone with him trying to explain what we thought it should be. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head that he should have handled it differently than the way he did. And I don't know if anything was ever done after that, because we had a lengthy discussion trying to explain the way we thought it should be done.
Right. So what we have now, what is the original 15?
Yes.
Right. So we never got any part of that old money.
Anything straight for that period that we thought was missing.
That's my question. It's been over 6 months. Let's clear this up. Please.
Yes, sir. So when we spoke with the auditor the last time, he was supposed to go back and make a correction to do it the way that it should have been done. And we haven't heard anything since that time. But what we can do is follow up. But when we got off the phone at that point, he agreed that it should have been done differently or that it could be.
Right.
And so we'll follow up with him and plan to add it to our next work session on the 21st. And it hopefully will be brought up to speed and we'll all be on the same page.
Is this the same auditor that you've always used?
No, we changed auditors 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So
he might have assumed that revenue split from the prior year. And I can understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, anytime we do a revenue split, that's got to be a part of public record. It's got to be something this board votes on. And that never happened. So,
but go back to the other subject at hand while y'all are here. I'm not a frequent flyer of the ABC. I'm not even a sometime flyer of the ABC store. But my thought is, you know, they're going to buy it somewheres. Mm-hmm. Might as well buy it in Berkeley County and not in Mahoskie or Rich Square or wherever they're traveling to. And if they're buying it more locally, if they pop that top illegally, but if they pop that top, at least they won't be so far from home when they pop it. So that goes to the control.
That's the seat of the control. And the people in Lewiston either buy it now, Rich Square, or they go to a hospital.
Right.
By having it here, I've been told, even the Martin County Commissioner one time told me that people from Oak City will be coming, people from Northampton will be coming. So, and maybe some folks from Orlando. I mean, I can't stop when people go to Walmart to go shopping.
Sure.
Where they're going to go across the street.
Right.
You know, that's a convenience. But I'm hoping that we're going to be a convenience, too. A lot of the ABC system is part about control. But it's an oddity, too, because the county does not have to pay anything for what we do. And they were not supposed to, at least, not supposed to. We pay all our employees, all our expenses, and everything from the profits we make at the ABC system. And the more, so it sounds conflicting. We want sales, but we want to control those sales too.
That's right.
That's right.
And so,
yeah. I think that's a good market. I think it's a very good marketplace. You know, we just got to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
And again, to Commissioner Wesson's point, I remember that whole thing, and I was letting you go because you already started talking about it. There's no use in someone else jumping in there. But they did bring it to county management. Your auditors did talk to county management and to finance. So management was made aware and was following through. We just haven't heard back from our guys yet. Have you had any calls yet?
No. About complaints?
Yeah.
We've had two phone calls. We had one that wouldn't leave their name, and they were calling out of the duck through because, you know, their name comes up on our phone. And then we had two phone calls, one from a town councilwoman and then another from a concerned citizen. Clint gets those and record them. Mm-hmm. And then when the 30 days is over, he sends those to. And that happened the first day the sign was put up. Since the sign's been put up, we haven't have received any calls from anybody.
Was the one from the town councilwoman, was she representing the town council or was she just calling
she
personally?
Calling.
She was not on the board when we talked to them about putting the story, So she, I don't know what's going on. So I sit down and explained it to her, you know, and told her about the meeting. And she said, oh, that's all. She said, I just never heard of it before.
And I can step in here. I think they got two new town councilmen
back in December.
This year also. So that need to get up to speed also on this.
And we hope we can do that.
Right, tonight. Yeah.
As far as you're concerned, I'm going to, if after the county manager, and I'm going to follow up with him and our auditor for you. I might not have it by the 21st, but I am going to have an answer.
Yeah.
If I need to, if we need to write a check for the entire amount to y'all, we can, because the cost for the Lewiston store has gone so much down than it was previously.
Thank you, guys.
I hate that I have to leave y'all. Y'all my favorite
people. Any other 3-minute comments?
Sure.
Yes, sir. Can you just give us your name and your address, please?
Sure. My name is Bernard White. I live at 217 Park Drive in Lewiston. But I'm in Williamston, North Carolina. I'm here representing my mother and the residents of 800 Governor's Road. I was here last year speaking with two of the councilmen and the county manager. a few questions came up about that particular area. Okay, in reference to raising the house, the homes, there was a flooding situation to find out what was the initial reason for the flooding. Ever since that conversation, nothing has been called, no phone calls, no contact with the residents. Mr. Robinson and the county manager have my number. And the residents haven't really heard any information about what was going on. You know, during that meeting, some of the things that were asked as far as sending Mr. Vick, I believe he was a county environmentalist or something, went to the county, go and check the
soil and water.
To check the area,
what
was really going on with that particular part. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard anything about his investigation of when he came along about those homes in that particular area. Okay. Was getting the allotted time, which I gave 6 months. I was coming back last year, but I said I'd given this a full 6 months to the end of the year. Maybe some changes or maybe somebody would have been concerned in reference to these citizens. Like, so one of the reasons I'm here, that was my neighborhood, but I was raised there. My mother still resides there. My neighbors still live there. So there's a very major concern of mine. I seen visually there were several homes within the city limits that have gotten razed, okay? But those homes were supposed to be razed. Well, one particular property was supposed to have been razed, but it never was. I did get in contact with Mr. Robinson briefly. I needed to know the FEMA individual out of Washington, Chris was his name. I tried to make contact with him. I was unsuccessful. So I can't get an answer. Now, I'm here today, once again, to plead with you for you to look into this. What is going on with these residents? Why aren't their homes razed?
what's going on with that, because it's getting a situation where that I don't like it. I don't like not seeing these residents who have worked all their lives and they have retired. And to see other things go on within the county, but not there.
County manager, I remember this gentleman, okay? Because I was sitting at the far end down there. And I remember you coming in here, and I remember the incident. And I remember Mr. Robinson had just been elected. And Vic Thompson with Soil and Water has been out there and looked at this, correct?
From my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Now, the man out there too.
Well, let me ask another question real quick. Mm-hmm. Holland's Construction, Consulting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to get in touch with them. And if this gentleman's called them, we need to find out why they haven't returned the call.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And find out what the situation is. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. And go from there. And then we need to put something in writing mm-hmm. of what's happening, if anything, or what they are doing. Mm-hmm. What is the process, okay, mm-hmm. as far as what everybody needs to do? And, sir, I apologize for nobody getting back with you, but somebody's going to get back with you, okay?
And let me offer just this piece of information. I do know a little bit about this, not a whole lot, because I do remember you as well, Mr. White.
Yeah.
A couple of things. Since the last time that it flooded in that area, right, a lot of that flooding, so DOT said, was caused by that juggernaut right there at School Road and Governor's Road.
Correct.
Right?
I remember that was the new one they put in one.
Right. Yeah. And they prepared that as what they thought might be the solution, because that area is not a floodplain. It was backed up because the water could not pass through. So they thought that juggernaut, and it backed up, right?
Correct.
Just like it does on Highway 17. My mother's house flooded twice. The same thing comes out of White Oak, can't get under 17 fast enough to get out in several places. But I think DOT is going to tell you that they think that fixed it, because even though we haven't had a major flood, we've had a lot of rain and nothing is backed up. So that's what I think they're going to say. Now, the other thing about raising the houses, I'm a little bit familiar with this. There's a list that Holland prepared from citizens who file for damages from FEMA. Right.
Correct.
It's a long list. And all of those houses in there are on that list. I know that for a fact because I've seen it. Now, here's how it works about which houses get raised. Right.
OK.
The town, the county has nothing to do with that. FEMA decides based on their inspection of the properties and what the resolution should be in terms of who raises the house. It's not county money. It's not town money who decides to do that. Now, but Holland should be able to give you a very specific answer as to what was the designation around your mother's property or any property in there, right? Okay. That's the piece that you need, because if they say that DOT fixed it, then it ought to fix it. If it didn't, if it needs raising, you should know what their recommendation is for resolution, because it should be there.
So the county manager is going to get a hold of Holland Consulting, like I talked about, and find out what the deal and the issues are. Okay.
Okay.
And then he's going to get back with you. You have it. You get his phone number also. And okay, you have it. Great. Okay. And then put it in writing also in an email or however you want to do it. County manager. Let's go from there. But I'm curious what Holland has to say about this.
Well, I did speak to him directly.
I thought you said you didn't. No. They never called you back.
I was trying to call him and I didn't get any contact with him. This was last year when I did speak to him.
Okay.
He was out at the property. He had informed my mother, Ms. Helen White, that her name was in the top five on the list. This is what he said. Mm-hmm. So I'm going under a straight conversation, no mediator, straight conversation, mm-hmm. that he said that she was in the top five. So her house was going to be raised because they had ran out of funds at that time. But as soon as they got the funds in, she was going to be one of the first ones that get their house raised.
Yeah.
This is words from his mouth. I have a computer brain. I make notes of everything.
Okay.
So trying to make contact with him, like you said, I couldn't get in contact. He never responded back to me.
Okay.
So hopefully this gentleman here can make that contact, because I would like for him to explain what's going on.
He can make that contact.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not
he should be able to tell you exactly what the deal was.
Because I know the update flood zone area, the actual house was moved out by the up-to-date mapping.
Right.
The back of the house to the canal is still the same. But the house itself, which says on a new flood map, that is no longer in that situation. Okay. So it would have been more opt to raise that property for future freak nature storms that come.
Well, of course, absolutely. I don't blame you. I understand your concerns. So,
you know, so I just want her to have peace of mind.
Right.
She's a little too old to be worrying about this. And my concern is her health. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. White.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any more 3-minute comments? LaShonda?
No comments at this time.
Okay. We're going to move on to appointment. Scheduled 2022 dates to convene as the Board of Equalization and Review. Tax Administrator Jody Ray, are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing good. Tonight we need to set the dates for the Board of Equalization and Review. After speaking with the county manager, we are recommending two dates. The first would be April the 4th. I think that'll be our first Monday meeting, and also April the 20th, which I believe is a work session. They're the dates that we want to propose and recommend.
Okay. Does anybody have any issues with that? No. Vice Chair, are you good?
Yeah, we probably ought to do the 4th unless somebody has conflict because we may not need the 20th. Yeah,
well, he wants to add the extra day just in case. Yeah, I think we have a meeting set up already.
I think we said that was a flex days, but anyway.
Exactly. All right. Good, everybody good?
Yes. Ms.
Lee? Ms. Robinson?
Yes.
Okay. All right, can I have a motion on that? So we'll go ahead and put it in motion form.
Yeah, I make the motion that we convene the Equalization and Review, Board of Equalization and Review on April the 4th and April the 20th.
Okay. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And Jody, typically we only had one day and you thought to yourself, we needed 2 days just to give people access, correct? And to be able to have a fair shot.
Oh, he wants 2 days. I don't think it's 1 day.
It's 2 days. That's right.
Correct. The statutes do not specify that, but it's recommended that you know, we need to give them more than one day.
Exactly. And so anyhow, thank you for getting us up to speed on that. And that's it. Is there anything else, County Manager, on this you'd like to say? Jody Ray, anything else?
No, sir. That'll be all.
Okay. We're going to move on. County Department positions, vacancies, updates by Risk Management / Human Resource Director, Courtney Ward.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
As of today, the current status of Bertie County vacancies for the following departments are as follows. Planning and inspections, we currently have no vacancies. As you all know, we hired an inspector back late last year in November as our building codes enforcement officer. Philip Barnes was hired late last month as our building codes inspector, and we extended an offer to Ms. Allison Pierce for our permits and help desk specialist position in the planning department. So they are completely full at this point.
Allison Pierce.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. So for the EMS department, we currently have 3 EMS vacancies between EMS and NET, so 3 total.
How many did we have total before?
So back in like November?
Yeah.
A lot.
Okay. So we've only got 3. So what we did was a good thing. Everything worked out. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Great.
And that includes NET. So 0 in NET, 3 in EMS.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
So for the sheriff's office, we have another 3 vacancies. Telecommunications, 3 vacancies, and for the environmental health, Don Highsmith was in that position for a very long time for the county. Mr. Marquise Holly, he started back in late November as well.
Okay.
And doing a great job.
Yes.
Good. Great.
Yes.
Are there any questions?
Yes. It's not a question, but it's a comment. Is New Hyes, are they Bertie natives?
No, I would have just kind of thinking back to our most recent hires. No. Some, not all of them. I can't say that they're all Bertie natives. Some of them are.
Okay. I personally like to see the Bertie County citizens have the our age of employment, if they have the same qualifications as an out town, out county person because of revenue purposes. It's all about revenues. Okay. You know, people come in from other counties, they don't spend no money here with us. People that live here spend their whole paycheck with us. Please take that in consideration moving forward. Thank you.
Let's hope all these folks that are working here that don't live here will want to come live here.
That's right.
Get some houses.
That's what we need, because we have more residents who work here who don't live here than any other county in this region, and it ain't even close. Mm-hmm. Housing is the key. We need to, if we had good housing, a lot of these people would want to live here. We need it bad.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Courtney? Well, I have to say it was good news. We filled all the positions. So I'm very happy about that.
It's very exciting when the directors and I sit down and we finally come up with a rate and a date and we pick someone. It's always very
absolutely
exciting.
So fantastic. Great job.
Great okay. work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next on our appointments, reclassification of elections director position by risk management, human resource officer, Courtney Ward. You're up to bat again, young lady.
Yes, thank you. So today we are still in search, or we are still in the process of filling the full-time elections director position for our elections department. During the initial phases of coordinating with the Bertie County Board of Elections, to begin the advertising and interview process, we identified the potential need to reclassify this position. Upon initial classification back in a long, long time ago, I can't even remember the date. I think maybe early 2000 was the most recent that our salary schedule reflects, the elections director role was much different. At that point, the elections department was a one person department, and supervision was only took place during the height of the election season for the seasonal worker oversight. At this point, the elections director is responsible for the oversight and management of one assistant and a regular part-time election worker, along with those traditional duties of the oversight of the seasonal election workers. In addition to the responsibility of management, general statute states that the elections director can be assigned duties and additional duties by the Board of Elections. And per the Bertie County Board of Elections, additional duties have been assigned to this position since the original classification. The Bertie County director is currently classified under grade 67 in the Bertie County salary schedule. Upon consideration of how this position has been modified over the years with the additional duties of the Bertie County Board of Elections, as well as the new supervision and management and the ongoing supervision and management of the seasonal workers, it is my recommendation that this position be classified under grade 71 of the Bertie County salary schedule, as well as becoming an FLSA exempt position. I do have a handout for you all, if I may.
Yes. Sorry. So is that going to change qualifications for the job itself from the last, what we're requiring for the qualifications to be since we last posted?
Oh, no. The qualifications remain the same, and that's what this is for. Okay. Those The duties and responsibilities have been modified so much over the years, and the position classification has not changed since those modifications. So that's what this is. We're taking a look at its original classification, the grade that it was assigned to, and how it's changed, and the fact that it has more responsibility, has more duties than what it was originally classified as, and adjusting it in our salary schedule. So, what I've provided to you is the outline of the salary within both grades, which is the second sheet of paper, as well as a comparison between the elections director position salary and salary schedule for our county, as well as the surrounding counties, and the job description. Are there any questions?
Explain to me the recommendation about this being an exempt position.
So when it was originally classified, the fact that it only had one employee in it, according to the exemption test, unless I really sat down and took a look at what exactly, you know, the duties were back then, and we did not really talk about that as far as why it wasn't classified as non-exempt. I can only assume it's because there was really no supervision. That it couldn't meet the test, so it had to be non-exempt. So at this point, it does meet the, I don't think it's the executive test. There's a supervisory one, so there's three tests to meet the exempt level of the classification. And she supervises now. Recommendation, it weighs heavy in the decisions within the department, as well as the hiring, firing, evaluation of employees. And then of course, the minimum salary, which it would meet that by putting the position in grade 71. When I think of the elections director, I automatically think of Ms. Sheila Holloman. So that's why I said her.
Any other questions?
So this is showing the salaries with your recommendation.
This one is the comparison between our surrounding counties.
But you have Bertie listed with the new salary schedule.
That is the original salary. That's at grade 68. That 32,995 under hiring rate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. Okay.
You were looking at the actual.
I'm with you now.
Yeah, sorry. The actual. Yeah.
Any other questions? Well, I think we're going to let you sit down, Ms. Ward, this time.
So do we have to?
You need a motion.
Do you need a motion on this?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion that we adjust. We adapt at the new hiring rate, pay grade from 67 to 71 for the Board of Election, because they do have a tough job.
I second that.
Okay, we have a first and a proper second. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's the stressful. They can make it left and right, man.
One of the things that I talked to county manager about, especially in the agendas that I sent to all the county commissioners in reference to these updates, these are things that all of us county commissioners had talked about prior as far as personnel, things of that nature. And thank you for getting us all up to date where we're at, where we're standing on personnel, so that we understand where we're at. And thank you, Mr. Manager, for getting that done also. One of the other things that was on that preliminary agenda was fire inspections. I believe we had the state that came back to us and advised us we need to get our fire inspections done, caught up, and all these things. Something in conversation I had with the county manager, one thing I did find out, because I wanted an update where we're standing on this and where we're going with this, is that none of our schools have been inspected, had a fire inspection. Was that not correct?
I'll let Tracy's on the line, and that's what's the one that's coming up. Okay. Yes. So she can confirm where we are with fire inspections in the county.
Tracy, are you there?
One moment, Chair Trent. She's on the line. She has to unmute.
She's up to us. Yeah. She probably one of those phone numbers at the bottom. There she is.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can now. Okay. I didn't see you up there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I didn't realize I had to unmute myself. I'm on my phone, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we are going to. We've been talking to a level 3 fire inspector who is willing to contract with us, such or similar to what John Rawls was doing for us. And he's going to come over sometime soon, as soon as we can get this contract shaped up and signed by Juan, he can get over here and schedule a day to come get our schools done. And he's willing to come, he said, probably a day a week for a few hours each week and try to help us get caught up on our program and get those fire inspections done. Now, our new inspectors, Matt has already started doing training with his technical supervisor, the gentleman who agreed to do his technical supervision for his fire inspections. And our newest inspector, who just started a couple of weeks ago, is still trying to hear back from the state, but he's already enrolling in classes so that he can go ahead and start moving forward with his fire. And I've had a conversation with both of them on more than one occasion about focusing on making sure that we get back to doing those fire inspections to meet the schedule requirements of the fire code. When COVID hit, the state pretty much suspended all fire inspections for a few months, and then they gave some options, where they could go back in. And then shortly after that, John ended his contract with us. And we looked on the marketplace. I contacted some people and left some messages, sent some emails, and I never got responses from anyone that had those qualifications that would be willing to come and contract. And then when Chris left, everything just kind of came to a big mess of trying to get inspectors in here to do our regular inspections. So it's just been an ongoing frustrating process. But hopefully we're getting ready to get back on track. And hopefully, everything will go smoothly. We might need to talk about some fee changes, but we can do that when we start budget discussions. Our services are costing the county quite a bit, so we might need to look at some things like charging for fire inspections and to help cover those costs.
This person we're talking about contracting, where are they from?
I believe he said he lives in Chowan County, but he works for Elizabeth City Fire Department. And he actually does the fire inspections in Chowan County. But he couldn't come and do inspections here under the interlocal agreement because he's not considered a Chowan County employee. So that's why we would need a separate contract directly with him.
I think we just want to make sure that we not only get somebody qualified to do this, but somebody who has the right attitude towards this job. And I don't know, sometimes people with who live in the community have more interest in trying to serve and get along with people in the community than people from outside. I'm certainly not implying this, I don't know this person, that he wouldn't. I just think that's something we want to make absolutely sure of, that we get somebody in here with the best interest of the community in mind, and not just strictly enforcing the code.
Yeah. Tracy, this is Commissioner Wesson. I know it's been a crazy time, especially trying to get a level 3 inspector. This is still going to be a kind of a gap thing for us. I mean, what's the prognosis on, is long range strategy to get our people up trained, or are we still going to try to find a permanent level 3 person? What's the real?
We're planning on having our employees, our employed inspectors, complete those levels. That is the goal.
How long do you think it's going to take to get someone to level 3?
With fire, Well, I would probably say about 4 years to get all the way there. It could be shorter depending on, you know, the when classes are offered and where they're offered. And
yeah, that's probably about right. And that's kind of my question. I'm wondering, I mean, how are we going to be? I mean, I know, you know, paying someone outside to come in, and I know it's tough getting somebody. We're not the only ones looking for level three. You know that.
We only have about four locations in the county that actually require a level three. So when we get back on our businesses, they should be able to pick up on that pretty quickly, because most of the businesses are going to require a level one inspector. Now, you have some that are going to require level two here and there, but like the schools only require a level two. But we've got four locations in the county that require a level three. You got Purdue, Avoca, the hospital, and the jail.
Valley Pro.
And I think.
Yeah.
Right.
In Willens.
Well, I guess I included them with Purdue because they're right out there with it. But that's where our level three inspections are going to come in. And the reason that Matt can't do the schools right now is because they require level two, and because he didn't have any background with fire, he was only given a probationary level one certificate in fire for right now until he passes the exam.
And how are you doing on budget? I know we, you know, this year, I know we, you know, they stopped inspections during COVID, but are we okay this year on budget?
Our revenues are not where I was hoping they would be this time of the year, especially when we increased the pay fee, you know, the fees a year before last. But I've been hoping they would pick, and the permits seem to be rolling in. So, but on my revenue sheet, the revenues just didn't seem to be where I thought they would be. If I do it on a monthly average, I think we're going to be projecting about $20,000 less than what I had projected that we'd bring in for the whole year. But hopefully it'll turn around, and that number will come up faster than I'm, you know, using the average for.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, again, thank you for the update, Tracy. And my main concern is getting these schools done. I don't think anybody wants us to have an incident at school and find out we haven't got a fire inspection there.
That's right.
And I think all these county commissioners will emphasize that the schools would be the priority at this stage. Okay.
Yes. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I talked with the fire inspector today, and he said he is ready. He's fine with the, you know, a contract. So as soon as I can get my budget turned in and I can get the contract worked out, we'll get it to Juan and we'll get things moving as fast as we can, hopefully by next week.
Okay. School's a priority. I'll repeat it again.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else have anything?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, financial summary by Finance Director William Robertson.
Thanks, William.
Thank you.
Give you a moment to look over it. A couple of things I would like to bring to your attention. One of the areas that might look like a little concern is emergency services. They're up about 69% when we should be around about 58. I'm not really too alarmed with them at the moment because this happens to be during the December and January time schedule, which pretty much means a lot of overtime and all, trying to cover the holidays and stuff like that. So that doesn't really surprise me too much. And hopefully it's going to start kind of working its way back down.
He also has
He also said that his supplies, the cost of his supplies,
supplies and fuel and gas and all that. We don't know where that's going to wind up at, because every time you go, every time I go home, it's gone up 10 cents a gallon. So,
and again, I brought this up to the county manager. I also brought it up to finance at the same time when we sat down and talked. I meant tires, fuel, everything. I came by today and I saw where gasoline is at $4.20 a gallon and diesel is at $5 a gallon. And I have to say, I don't think that was in the budget. Okay. No way. And not only is it just EMS, it's going to be law enforcement, water department, everything. Any department has vehicles. So these are the issues we're running into.
But on a more favorable note, if you look down at the expenses for the year, we're around 42.4. It's actually a little better than we were last year this time. And again, we're in a range where we'd be looking at around 58%. So our expenses at the moment are staying pretty well in check. If you look down at the bottom, I know Chairman Trent likes to look at this one. The cash in hand looks a whole lot better. Looks a whole lot better than it did last year. Almost what, $2.3 million.
Actually, last year I remember the number exactly was $3,177,000. We're now up to $8,962,000.
That being said, if you flip to the back side and you can look over regional water and whatever, I would like to go down and show that you only have two reimbursables. The first one, I've already documented that the money came in February. The last one, which is the big one, I followed up with a phone call. They told me I should receive payment by Friday. So
is that the
Golden Leaf?
The Golden Leaf. That's the Library and Cooperative Extension.
Right.
And we've been waiting for that $300,000, close to $300,000 for what, about 10 months now, correct?
About six.
Okay. Well, I was talking to David. David said it was still out there when he got hired, and that's been about 10 months ago. So
I don't think we have finished it completely at that time.
Right. All right.
So, any questions?
Yeah, the gentleman in D.C. that helped us get all that other money, I had the opportunity to thank him in person while I was in D.C. I'm
glad you did that.
Yes. And told him how grateful we all were
for absolutely
helping us get that money.
You did.
As long as it took.
Yeah. What, six years? 5 or 6 years to get that money?
About five years.
Yeah, it was.
I just... maybe on debt service, total debt service, year to date was showing zero, right?
My formula must have got messed up on that.
Yeah, that can't be right.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one. My formula must have got messed up.
Okay. And no transfers as well?
Well, we don't normally have transfer to like the end of the
year. That's just the only one, that debt service. I mean, that's off.
Yeah, I see that now. I don't know what happened there. The formula must have got messed up.
Okay. So if you add that into the number, that's a sizable number, right? Over $1 million, $2 million.
Well, the bottom line is calculated based off the numbers.
That's in the number.
That's in the
number. That's in
it's
there.
Just that gotcha. One line item for some reason got messed up.
That's the answer. Thank you.
Oh, and just a side note, I know you asked about inspections. If you go up and look at planning inspections, they currently run about 43%. So they are actually well under budget at the moment. So her contracts and all, she should still be okay for a while going with that. Yeah.
I know we stopped, doing COVID inspections, but we're paying kind of more out now on a run bit rate. So, yeah.
And total expenditures right now are standing around 44.5%. Is that what that says?
Yeah, 42.4.
42.4. Last year. Okay. I had my glasses on. Okay.
That's all right.
Let's talk about the water department real quick since we can flip it over here, right?
Okay.
Utilities.
In water, you can see sales and services. It looks really good. We anticipate it looking better because of our rate increase. Expenditures are up a fraction compared to last year, but they're still well below what we would expect to be this time based on 7 months out of 12.
with it being March and we're about 3 months out, give us a projection. What you think?
Look in your crystal ball.
You knew it was coming.
Can I ask you, could I do that on y'all's work session?
Yes, that and would be perfect.
I will have an overall projection by then, not only water, but I'll try to do the
crystal ball. Because that's very, very important to me.
Yeah, and remember, and I know you're very much aware of this, William, so I'm not speaking to the choir, but remember the last year when we've had, you know, money's out that we owed, and we kind of hopefully we're past that big spot, right?
Yeah,
So that's going to make a big difference for us, how we manage on those last few months, what gets paid, what doesn't get paid, the whole works, what gets in.
That's part of my reimbursement back in the document. What I have that I'm waiting on.
And I think you've done a great job on that too.
Yeah.
That's what we needed to know.
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely. Anybody have any other questions for William?
Keep up the good work, man. Comment.
Appreciate it. Okay. Okay. All right. Board appointments. We got to be
none.
Okay. No board appointments. Consent agenda. Approved registers of deeds, fees report, February 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved budget amendments. Have a motion, William. Please. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. William. So you ran over there, lost space where you were at?
Yeah, well, I didn't realize where I was at.
You're right up, going to be right up the bat again.
The first one, we have an increase in funding on the Home Community Care Block Grant, handled through Mideast. Of about $16,000, and this is just trying to get my numbers correct. There is a match that goes with it, but I was able to find it in another line item so we wouldn't have to allocate any fund balance. So I've got that taken care of.
What was the match, if you know it offhand?
10%.
Gotcha. Okay.
The second one is we got confirmation from the state about what our crisis money would be. We use the budget on the estimate, and then during the year, they finally come in and tell us how much we're going to get. Well, they actually came in with less than what we had budgeted. So I'm making that adjustment to get that more in line to what the state said we're going to receive.
And how much is that? Do you have that offhand?
It's a reduction of $25,000.
Good.
But it's also revenue and expenses coming down.
I got you.
And then the last one is Jody has received another invoice for his audits. So I need to put that back in here so we can pay that.
All right.
Make a motion. We approve the budget amendments.
Have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Approved project amendments.
During one of your last meetings, we were talking about the tall glass of water, and I noticed that the number that seemed to be used didn't correspond with the number I had. So I got to dig into it, and I found that there was a approval from the Division of Water Resources for $197,226. I had the letter on my desk, but it also says that we'll be contacting you soon about signing the contract and all. So I've been waiting to see the contract. Well, I discovered that it has been signed. I just didn't get a copy of it. So now I'm trying to put this into work so it will be in there to be spent on the project.
Who signed the contract?
I think it was Tammy.
Okay.
So that's additional.
I mean,
additional money. What I'm trying to find out, that's additional money.
Tammy or Tammy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's.
I remember signing.
Right. Yeah, you did.
All right, but that's additional money.
It was back a while, but I not do anything until I get all my paperwork together. And it's just a matter of I didn't get a hold of it. Once I found it, I got a copy and all of it. Now I'm just putting in. I did have the letter that we were receiving the award, so I knew the money was coming.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
But that's kind of like a pass through. Right?
Well,
Yeah. Okay. So exactly.
But I need to put it in there so I can.
Use it. Oh yeah.
So get that one approved as well.
Okay. Number four, approve resolutions for pursuit. I'm sorry. Can we have a motion?
Since I signed it, I'm not
going to
make the motion.
I'll make the motion then.
Mr. Robinson's made a motion. Motion. Second, please.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Approved resolutions for pursuit of grant for upgrade of Lewiston Woodville water system.
Yes, sir. So that C4 and C5, actually, it's just C4. Both is there are two resolutions. If you recall, the last time that Rodney Tart was here, when he presented the asset inventory reports, he mentioned us pursuing some grant funds to cover the Lewiston water system, the upgrade that needs to be done to that. And he mentioned that he may be able to join the call, and I see that Ricky's on the call too. But pretty much what these resolutions are stating is pretty much one is declaring that we or confirming that we are a distressed county. Counties who are distressed, they believe that we should have a pretty good chance of getting some ARP funds. And then the other one just simply states that if there is a balance, that we will do what we can to cover that balance somehow. But after speaking to Rodney Tart, he mentioned, of course, the goal is for it to the grant amount to cover the project in its entirety. Although, you know, we don't know exactly what that will be at this time. But once we find out if we, you know, if it's too big of a difference, we don't have to accept. So
do we know what potential match would be on the grant? It's just
no, hopefully it will cover it. That's the goal. That is the goal.
Well, I will say this. There was one that we went after, and Commissioner West and myself, we went to Rawlings, spoke to Senator Smith, and I think it was Diener also, and we got a $500,000 forgiveness. If there's something on that and it comes up, please let me know so that we can do our same thing we did before.
Yeah. Okay. Rodney's done a great job.
He has.
Getting, you know, that even when there is a grant, you know, a matching piece, getting it lowered sometimes nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, by stating our case.
Right? Absolutely. I think that was to close the loop there from Roxville coming back this way here. And but a $500,000 decrease was a nice little hit. So anything else, Kenny Manager?
No, that's it for that. If we can get motions for to approve both of those resolutions, that'd be great.
Can a motion, please?
Move to approve both resolutions for the grants for Lewis and Woodville Water.
Okay, can I have second. All right, we have a first and a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. All right, approve 2021 records and disposition schedules for general records.
Our clerk, so C5 and C6 has to do with the updated records and disposition schedules for general records and program records. Ms. Cartwright, can you give the board a brief overview of what this is?
Good afternoon. Yes, I can. Basically, what this is, this comes from the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources Division of Archives and Records, and it deals with the retention policy. And according to North Carolina General Statutes, that you may destroy public records only with the consent of the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. The State Archives of North Carolina is the division of DNCR charged with administering records management program. This schedule is the primary way the State Archives of North Carolina gives its consent. Without approving this schedule, your agency is obligated to obtain the State Archives of North Carolina's permission to destroy any record, no matter how insignificant. Basically meaning each record has its own certain amount of retention periods, and the State of North Carolina would like for you to adopt this and sign off on it and just turn it back in to them.
Is that your recommendation?
Yes, my recommendation would be for the board to approve it and sign it. And just keep in mind that this is subject to change within another few months, depending on what the State Archives roll out again for records and retention.
And that's for general records and program records?
Or yes, for both. For both schedules.
Five and six.
Do you have a motion, please? So
move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes. So as you all know, the elections director position is still vacant, and we have a primary election coming up. So it will be great for us to have someone in that position to oversee that process. As you all know, Sheila Holloman was the previous director, and she retired in December. And this employment agreement is for her to come back as interim elections director again to get us through the election. And hopefully by the end of the fiscal year, especially once we re-advertise with the new reclassification, hopefully that will give us a broader pool. But Ms. Holloman is prepared to come back this week upon the approval of this agreement.
I make a motion
to approve. So move.
Okay, we got a first and a second. All in favor? The next one on discussion agenda, discuss parking with Love Connections LLC broadband services. Commander, I'd like to push it off to the 21st. We have a very lengthy discussion and also questions for the people involved with this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Item two, on discussion status of COVID-19 and mask requirements in county facilities.
Okay, everybody's excited about this one. Talk about masks. Before we get to masks, let's talk about the status of COVID-19 in the community. Cases are down significantly. And within the organization, we actually don't have any employees who are out on quarantine or isolation due to testing positive or being exposed. Great. So that's great. That's the first time in a long time that we've been able to see that. Okay, so now, when it comes to the mask requirement, the mask requirement has been in place, and I really appreciate everyone's patience, the citizens, staff. People really don't like these masks. They've been around for a long time. And so they were still in place because CDC community levels, various community levels. There was low. They just recently changed it shortly after the governor had his recommendation. But there's low, there's medium, and there's high. Up until very recently here, we were still in high. And when you're in high, CDC recommends that you wear masks indoors. Well, now I'm happy to report that we are now in low community level. And so that recommendation has gone away. And the main thing that they recommend when you are in low is for people to stay up to date with COVID vaccines and boosters. And of course, if you're immunocompromised, have a plan for testing or talk to your healthcare providers. At any rate, because of that, because things have improved significantly, I would like to lift the mask requirement. So starting tomorrow at 8:30 a.m., no masks will no longer be required. Of course, they're optional. If people still, you know, choose to wear them, by all means, they're welcome to do that. But as far as it being required for everyone, I think the time has come for us to no longer require them.
Can we, can we put something out on our county site and on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Site?
Yes, sir.
You know, confirm that for citizens.
Yes, sir.
You know, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. I mean,
thank you for keeping up with it, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? From day one.
You and your committee has done an outstanding job of keeping up with it and making the recommendations, and we do appreciate it, but we really appreciate this. This last recommendation.
All right. Commissioner Ford, Commissioner Ford, Commissioner Ford. Berkeley County girls are going to the state championship. So I've got to recommend that we do something to recognize them for their successful year so far, even before the state championship. Win or lose, they've had a great season.
Yes, they have.
And I feel confident that they're going to win. It's going to be a tough game. But, so we could do something, some resolution that could be delivered to the schools prior to
It's Saturday at 2:30. 2:30 at North Carolina State University.
Tickets go on sale this evening.
2:30. No, yeah, at North Carolina State. Rental Coliseum. Saturday.
Tickets go on sale this evening.
Rental Coliseum.
You mean like in a form of a resolution? Is that what you mean?
Something similar like we did for the girls softball team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, just congratulating them for the year, wishing them the best.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Commissioner Robertson.
Mr. Chairman, I was talking about the girls, but Ron, thanks, man. But, I will add on a little bit what Ron said. I will hope that the citizens of Berthier County and with everybody with rally behind the latest Falcons, and because we rallied behind the guys when they played the state football. So now it's opportunity to rally behind the females and wish them the best and be there for them. I'll be there.
Absolutely. Is that all you have, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Miss Lee.
Yes, I serve, as y'all know, on the executive health board for the 8-county health department, but I've also been serving on an additional committee for oral health. And because of my advocacy for Bertie County, they have looked at some of our water districts in the county, and we will be going to one of our towns and presenting to that town. They do not have enough fluoride in their water. And so we will be going to that town, and we have come up with the funds to install the equipment and buy the fluorine for the first year. And that's, you know, all a part of your health. Your dental health is, you know, is as important as your medical health. So I'm excited about this project, and just am very grateful to Mr. Battle Betts for finding the funds to buy the equipment. It's about a $5,000 to $7,000 investment into that community that doesn't have enough fluoride in their water.
Excellent.
Right.
Is that it, Ms. Lee?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Atkins?
No, sir.
Okay. I just want to say that this board is still pursuing everything that we can do when it comes to affordable housing, and right, talking to people. Commissioner West and myself talked to a construction company. I believe they're out of Winston-Salem. I believe so. They're Raleigh. I'm sorry. I got Winston-Salem on mine. Mills Construction. They sent me quite a bit of information as far as what they can do. And they've even offered to come and look at some properties that we have. So, make a long story short, this is something that slips our mind when it comes to affordable housing. We've talked about it. And I will tell you this, I am determined, and so is Commissioner Wesson, that we get some more affordable housing in Bertie County, because that's how tax bases move up. That's how we keep our employers with employees. Okay. And we have got to move in that section. And that is what also brings retail. And these are the things that we need to have. And absolutely. Other than us running around and going to different towns and talking to these people. And that's it. And but we're running hard on it. I got contact with some other people in reference to that are in Raleigh, other than the other company that Mr. Wesson and I talked about, and they'd like to come to the table and talk. So we are moving. Okay. That's all I have. 3-minute comment section. Mr. Manager, you have anything?
No reports.
Okay. Mr. Attorney, you don't have anything right now, do you? Okay. Any other 3-minute comments?
No comments here at this time.
Okay. If that's the case, then I need a motion for us to go into closed session under attorney-client, North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11 A, subsection 3. I have a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I have a motion.
Okay. We have a proper motion and a second to adjourn. All right, give me.
Late lunch, early supper at 3 o'clock.